You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. There's a lot of disagreement in America today, but there's one issue that most Americans can agree on. Child abuse is wrong. And it's wrong no matter who the abuser is, whether it's an individual act or an institutional one. Child abuse is wrong, whether the abuser is a parent, a teacher, or a government, or even the Christian church. Oregon Public Broadcasting is featuring a new documentary about the systemic abuses of Native children titled Uncovering Boarding Schools, Stories of Resistance and Resilience. It's the first in-depth look at the boarding school experience of children from Native tribes here in Oregon. My two guests were involved in that project. Cammie Horton graduated from Southern Oregon University and launched her journalism career right here in this region. She worked as a TV news reporter, producer, and anchor. She has more than two decades of storytelling experience and notable projects with OPB and PBS. She's currently a writer and producer for OPB's historical documentary series, Oregon Experience, which brings to life the stories of Oregon's past. Welcome to The Exchange, Cammie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Abby Hall is an adjunct professor at Central Oregon Community College. She holds degrees in ethnic studies and teaching from Oregon State University. She grew up at Fort Klamath, and is an enrolled member of the Klamath Tribes. Abby's story is featured in the OPB film that Cammie produced. Welcome to The Exchange, Abby.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Cammie, the history of Indian boarding schools in Oregon is still not well known to this day. Tell me about this documentary.
Well, in 2021, I connected with Abby, who was doing research on Klamath tribal members who had gone to boarding schools. And as I'm sure she'll tell you, she wasn't able to find very much information. And as I learned more about her own journey to try to find that information, it seemed like a good way to get into the large, complex history of federal boarding school policy. And so together we worked on this documentary that kind of shows Abby's journey to uncover her own family's history, and then using that as a way to kind of tell the larger story of how this kind of federal policy went on for decades and impacted generations of Native Americans and still continues to impact Native American communities today.
Well, Abby, your family story is featured in this film. Can you share a bit of it?
Well, it goes all the way back to a great-great-great-grandfather, David Hill, who attended boarding school. And then we kind of weave our way through the next three generations attending boarding school, ending with my grandma Marilyn Mitchell Hall, who attended Canyonville Bible Academy here in Oregon, and then was later sent to Haskell Indian School in Lawrence, Kansas. And so we kind of started at the beginning and worked our way forward to my grandmother's story. And, you know, something every family, every Native family has their own story to tell, but then there's commonality across, you know, tribes and nations. And so I think the documentary kind of goes into that. Even if you're not a member of the Klamath tribes, you probably have similar stories or experiences that your family has gone through if you're Indigenous.
Well, Cammie, the first boarding school in the nation, I believe, was the Carlisle Indian School back east. But I think the second one was here in Oregon?
That's right. In 1880, Forest Grove Indian Boarding School opened in Forest Grove that eventually turned into Chemawa, which is still open today as the longest federally operated boarding school of its kind. And it turned out that Abby's family had connections there. So one of the things we were able to do with this documentary is by showing her family, it showed the things that were going on across the country. So she had family members that were in Carlisle, which was the first one that opened, and then also in Forest Grove. And one of the things that we found is one of the first Klamath children to die or to get sick and eventually die at Forest Grove was actually her great aunt. So as we got into this, we discovered these just amazing, incredible stories of real individual people and what their lives were like.
Well, tell me, why were these boarding schools created and what were their intention? And why did so many kids get sick and die?
Yeah, the story just goes back decades. but the idea was that the federal government wanted to assimilate Native American children through these boarding schools. And so there were very strict rules around not being able to speak their indigenous language and cutting their hair and trying to essentially, bring them into a white mainstream society. And that was done in many of these, especially early schools, in very brutal ways. And so this resulted in a lot of really horrible conditions for a lot of these children. And as the years went on, you know, there was money for each child that was placed in these boarding schools. And so a lot of times they would try to put in as many children as they could. So that made for overcrowding and poor conditions. So if one child became sick, then many children became sick. And so there was a lot of tuberculosis. There was a lot of infectious diseases. And sometimes these children then would be sent home when they were close to death because they didn't want the deaths at the school. And then that would go on to infect tribal communities. So it has this really long history that impacted tribes all across the country. And there were some people that had good experiences at boarding schools, absolutely. But many of the, especially those early schools, were just really brutal, dangerous places for children.
My guests are Cammie Horton and Abby Hall. Cammie produced the OPB documentary that features Abby's story. It's titled Uncovering Boarding Schools, Stories of Resistance and Resilience. You can watch it on OPB TV starting November 3rd. Links to the film's trailer and a shorter educational video for teaching can be found at jeffexchange.org. So, Abby, how did these boarding schools get these kids, and how did they get your family?
Well, it was really a two-pronged process. One, they were compelled to attend. We actually have a letter from the founder of the boarding schools, Henry Pratt, writing back to the Klamath Indian Agency, telling our local Indian supervisor to put pressure on the families to send the kids. And so there was that sort of external pressure. And then you also had tribal people who thought, you know, the future is our kids learning English, our kids learning a skill set. And so some of them believed that this was the best place to send their kids and that they would be well taken care of. There's a quote in a documentary where one of the Klamath elders is going to a religious school, and her mom said, well, they're religious, they would never hurt you. And that was just a misconception that was far from true for her personal experiences. And so there was the pressure to attend by the government and Indian agencies. And then at the same time, on these reservations, there was limited resources. And so many tribal members felt like, at least if I send my kids, they'll be housed, they'll be clothed, and they'll be taken care of, which wasn't the case. And if you refused to send your children, they would do things. The federal government would pull rations, which are a treaty right. They didn't have the authority to say, no, we're going to pull this because you don't send your kids. But they would do that. There's also stories of tribal leaders who refused to turn over their children who were jailed at Alcatraz. And they would send out Indian police to collect Indian children on behalf of the government. It was very kind of lateral violence in that way. But they were compelled to attend these schools, Native children.
So this was done in partnership between the federal government and Christian churches?
They both played their role. A lot of people, when they look at the Indian boarding schools, they think of just the large federally run schools, which are the most well-known. That's your Carlisle, your Haskell, Chamawa, those sorts of schools. But on a smaller level and less talked about are the local religious-run schools, such as St. Mary's that was in Albany, Oregon, Canyonville Bible Academy, where my grandma attended. All of these schools were also run with the intention of assimilating Native children and just had, along with your, you know, your reading and your math, they would also have religious classes that the kids would be required to attend. But I can say from our research, Cammie and I's, that the religious schools are not being categorized by the federal government as boarding schools, even though we have elders telling us, hey, these were boarding schools. We've been able to find financial documents where the federal government is paying Native students, paying their tuition to attend these schools. And for some reason, in Deb Holland's recent report, they're not being classified as boarding schools. And so that was one of the things that was questionable and that we did find definitely in our interviews of tribal elders. I think there was at least six schools in Oregon that did not make the federal registry as Native American boarding schools, and all six of those were religious institutions.
So we only have about a minute left. Cammie, the stories of systemic abuses of Native children in Oregon are hidden for a reason. They're shameful. How are people responding to this project?
I think the response has been really great. At one of the screenings that we just had in Bend, afterwards, we had people coming up and wanting to share their own stories. And that's really kind of the point of this, is to get people talking about this history and being interested in learning more and maybe having discussions within their own families that haven't been talked about before.
How are schools responding?
I haven't heard anything from any of the schools as of yet, actually, but a lot of these schools are no longer open. When we were doing the research, many of them, there just isn't very much information, and they aren't taking, it's something that's in the past, so they aren't taking children like they were before, or they were only open for a short period of time.
Okay, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I just wanted to clarify. I meant public schools, our K-12 schools.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We have heard from, I've heard from some individual teachers that are interested in using this short to teach their own classes.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. My guests were Cammie Horton and Abby Hall. Their OPB documentary is Uncovering Boarding Schools, Stories of Resistance and Resilience. You can find links to the film's trailer and shorter educational video for teaching on our website. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.